Make your way in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. One short verse this morning. Let's stand in honor of God's Word if you're able. In verse 32, God's Word reads this way: be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. One more time together: be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. You may be seated. I sat mesmerized in my hotel room this week on Tuesday night as I listened to a 3-minute recording. And that recording came from years ago, and some gathered in this place will remember what occurred. April 13th, 1970, at precisely 2108, for those not of the military persuasion, 9:08 p.m., some 200,000 miles from planet Earth, in dark outer space, crackled Jack Swigert. Houston, we have had a problem. Swigert, as you know, had replaced Ken Mattingly on Apollo 13. A few days before, as Ken Mattingly, who was intended to be in that seat at that time, communicating to NASA headquarters, had been struck with the flu, or at least they were concerned that he had. 2 days into the mission, some 200,000 miles from home, and those that were alive at that time instantly were drawn to televisions and radios as the world watched and waited. Apollo 13, some 4 days later, made it back safely, landing in the Pacific Ocean, being picked up by the USS Iwo Jima, perhaps American engineering at its very finest. Something has been heavy on my week, on my mind this week. Last Saturday, we lost a sister that frequented our sanctuary. As Rick mentioned, we'll be able to memorialize her Friday night. I wrote about this in the newsletter. Some of you have probably received. The rest, it'll be at your home tomorrow. There was a comment that was made by a grieving son that haunted me this week. And without knowing whether it's really true or not, what he said, quote, "Well, you know, she did not have many friends. You know that she did not have many friends." This portion of text is almost the hinge between all the theology that Paul has been laying out on the church. The challenges of making ourselves new little by little. And then we come to this precious little pivot, verse 32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. It's almost as if the Apostle Paul calls a timeout in his march of theology and says, wait. Be kind to one another. We might add, be good friends to one another in the church. The statistics are somewhat concerning, connected with friendship in our day and age. Social media would tell you precisely that the average American has 338 friends. 338 friends. People that study these things for real proclaim that most women have several good friends, and by the definition of good friends, meaning they share life and experiences and the depths of sorrow and the incredible heights of rejoicing together in real, profound ways. Those that study will say, men may have one friend. Many have zero friends. It was a quote from somebody who studies this, and it says, many guys, and I'm a guy, and I'm somewhat in this camp, say that they speak and see their best friend maybe every 3 years. And we just, you know what comes next, guys. Pick up where we left off. The problem is that by a factor of 2 to 1, most men are lonely. Most men are lonely. You know that Jack Swigert said, Houston, we have had a problem. Problem in the past, the astronauts were already at work solving that problem. If you saw the movie Apollo 13, 1995, Kevin Bacon, one of the 6 degrees of separation back to Kevin, you realize that the movie writers changed that line. Houston, we have a problem. I'm here to tell you, church, that we have a problem. And that problem is the same one that existed in the church at Ephesus. We struggle being kind to one another. We struggle being friends to one another, and we can do better, and the Apostle Paul cheers us on. A second thing haunted me this week. I had a conversation with a sister that's been in ministry for many years that I'm just getting to know. She had left a corporate job to enter the world of ministry, serving in a church, and she said, you know, Jeff, I thought that church would be different. I thought that it would be kind. And I have found out that it is worse. Paul must have been seeing it too. In Ephesus and all the cities around, theology can be really thick. But yet, Paul, with his eyes attuned to the pain in the pews, sees loneliness, pain, isolation, vulnerability existing in the church at Ephesus. And he encourages this morning to do something about it. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. I want to speak from the heart this morning. The theology can be thick. We too need this reminder and challenge that sometimes we need to be simply kind to one another. Let's look at this verse in 3 points, and then I have a couple of takeaways for way of action for you. Number one, be kind to one another and tender-hearted. Be kind to one another and tender-hearted. Just as if we were right in the movie Apollo 13 and we brought this past event into the present, Paul brings it into the present in the original language with what we've referred to as a present imperative. It hit me this week that I haven't explained, when Dan and I say present imperative, really what that means well enough. It means that this is an ongoing issue. It's in the present. It's not in the past yet in Ephesus. Paul is looking at the church. He's writing the letter going, this still needs to be said to us. And in 2020, it still needs to be said to us too. The language in the original is best translated, and you make a note of this because I think it captures it well. Be becoming kind. Be becoming kind. The fact is that we're still stuck in these old bodies of ours, but we're challenged to become new selves in verse 24. Be becoming kind to one another. Verse 23 says that this happens all as our minds are renewed in the spirit of themselves. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted. Paul, recognizing that we're not yet finished, urges us onward. Brothers and sisters in Christ that are gathered in Audubon, when we're unkind to one another, we are legitimately messing with God's children. And that's personal to the God that created this place that we call home. Let us remember, He gave His Son to these children that we're messing with. In John 3:16, it's recorded as, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever," hang with me, King James, "believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." We gathered here are God's children. We are the ones that God gave His Son for. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted. One theologian records this commentary to put the exclamation point on that. "We should take care lest we unthinkingly do harm to someone chosen by the Father, redeemed by the Son, and indwelt by the Spirit." Be kind to one another, tenderhearted. Of course, when we're in close proximity with one another in the church, we're going to bump each other, and occasionally we're going to bruise each other. Anybody that's been married knows that that happens. Anybody that has a brother or sister knows that that happens. Anybody that has a parent or is a child knows that that happens. Despite our best hopes and best intentions and flourishing, wonderful relationships too, that happens. What comes next in the text? Forgiving one another. We in the church live in close proximity with one another, and that requires, by the nature of that proximity, that we be good at forgiving one another. We will bruise one another from time to time. Hello? You know, this new self, like we talked about, is a process, is it not? Be becoming kind is similar to the be becoming better at this forgiving that Paul says. Forgiving one another. So the question that is begged is, are you, am I, committed to forgiving one another in this church house? I'll be honest, some consider it their right to hold grudges and be done with people that have offended them and spoken what we've learned, the phrase corrupting words. And they might ask, how long should I hurt? How long should I be offended by this brother or sister? Put up with this treatment? God's word says a lot longer. Like forever longer. Like no ending longer. Forgiving one another. Matthew 18 records it this way. Peter coming up to the Lord and asking this same question. How long do I have to put up with this? You know the answer from Jesus our Christ. Lord, Peter says, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? And you know the answer. It's one of the greatest math problems in all of Scripture. Up to seven times, Peter asked. I don't like to forgive people seven times. I like them to get it after the first time. Jesus answers, I tell you, not seven times, but 70 times seven. I can see Eli working the math. He's over his minister. The point is, forever. This is a measure of complete forgiveness from a scripture standpoint. We have to be good at forgiving because it's a present imperative that's given for us in the reality of God's church house. We're going to bruise each other occasionally, and we need to get on with forgiving. The next part is incredibly important. As a child of God, we are made to become increasingly Christ-like in our righteousness and truth, as we've said. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, comma. And this is the deepest of theology, and we won't expound it long. As God in Christ forgave you. You know, I'll be perfectly transparent with you. I and many that sound like I have a selfish tendency to make the gospel about ourselves. Me, myself, and I. Me, myself, and I. This is what has been done for me. This is how it impacts me. And this is what I can do with that. And an inclination to take the gospel and not cascade it forth. Luke records Jesus' words himself. To everyone who has been given much, what comes next? Much will be required. Brothers and sisters, we are called to forgive because the cost was high in us receiving our forgiveness. Not exactly what Paul had in mind when he wrote verse 38, but brings to mind this concept of thieves taking and not contributing to the body. Do you contribute forgiveness to the body of Christ? Is there someone here this morning that you need to forgive? If not because of the gift you've received, but because of simple kindness. Peter records in 1 Peter chapter 4, to each of us that have received this gift, verses 10 and 11 record, use it to serve one another. And how's the best way to serve one another? Stacking chairs is great. Forgiving one another is better. Peter continues, as good stewards of God's varied grace. We forgive because we steward this grace that has been spilled forth to us. I want to make a connection for you. I believe as surely as I'm standing here that kindness is the thing that most of us need to feel from one another the most. Kindness. Tenderheartedness. I think it's the thing that solves this perplexity called loneliness. Creates friendships. Brothers and sisters in the church. And that is of immense importance to us. 1 John records, the apostle is recording Christ and saying that they will know you by your love. They will know you by your love. It's inconceivable to me that we in this church can love each other and not be good friends. There's a higher order to love than friendship, the kindness to tenderheartedness. I want to work this theology for a couple of minutes with you with a couple of call-outs. Number one, when you plant the church, you get to decide a few things. And some will smile here. You don't have to go through committees, and you don't have to, because it's only you, and in this case, the Coopers and the Hydes that are back in the nursery serving this morning. One of those things that I believe spilled forth and I believe in accordance with God's word from those that planted the church was this. We had a passion for fighting against what those that study the demographics of friendship called sameness. If you look at the demographics of friendship, what you find is that opposites don't attract. People make friends with others that generally are in the same social status of themselves. Soccer families, the same income status, birds of a feather flock together there, the same education, race, religious beliefs too. About 70% of the friends of those gathered here will be very similar to ourselves. And only 30% of our friends will be different in any one of those five categories, is what Barna found. We're wired with a strong desire for sameness. It's what makes us comfortable when people are like ourselves. I actually heard someone say this since I've been in this church. People, and we're going to laugh at this, so I'll just get you ready. Get ready to laugh. People unlike me are a challenge. People unlike me are a challenge. That's true. It's true for all of us. But I promise, I'm not really like you, and you're really not like me, which leaves us with a question. What shall we do? Shall we give up? Now, when you plant a church, you have to decide these things. There are plenty of churches, and you can read about them online. Our pastor went to visit one recently, doing research, we call it, in the pastorate. And the church was very monolithic. Very monolithic. And some churches out there actually promote and feed sameness. For instance, there could be a church marketing campaign, probably not for the church, but definitely for groups within the church. This group is for adults, age 30 to 40, who are engineers, who are white, who like pizza, and they like to eat it Sunday night. And you know what I'm getting at. Groups that are generated on sameness can be therapeutic, but from a scripture standpoint, not correct. Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 12 that everyone gathered here is part of this body of Christ. We are one because of Christ. Earlier in chapter 4, he's reminded that the only way that we can grow up is together, be together. Those that would pursue having church with those that are like themselves, Scripture calls out in Revelation as possessing a death wish. It is terminal velocity for a church to look like itself and not what the Apostle Paul urges us to. In Revelation, Christ says, "He who has ears, let him hear." So the challenge for us, and when we planted the church, we were very vocal about this, and we are living this out, Audubon, step by step, is this. We want to be one jumbled up mess of non-sameness for the glory of God. That's the only picture we see in Scripture. We want old and young and some middles. We want the different races and the different social statuses and everybody that God would bring to this place for His glory to be welcome here, to be treated kindly and tenderheartedly. Generationally, this can be a challenge. We get to the point where our friends are more and more like us as we go through. And I would say this to those that are my elders in this church. Without the middles and the youth, how could you even conduct a church service in this day? I would say this to the youngers, and our pastor led us in this last week. I loved hearing from you, Benaiah, but at the end of the day, who would even be present to hear you preach without all the generations present in this place? See, there's a reason that I believe that Paul is after this vision of church opposites attracting, and it's this, that we need each other. Even in this sanctuary, even in this place, and by the way, as we've seen through Ephesians, and we're really going to get into chapter 6, this is the normative pattern of Scripture, that we, albeit different, are not here by accident. We're here by intentionality from God the Father, whose Son has redeemed us. Be kind to one another. There is an alternative to this picture. And as the joke goes, it's found in Nowhere, chapter 1.1. Nowhere in Scripture is an alternative to this picture painted. It is always corrected in Scripture. To pull this off in this vision that Paul has in mind, be kind to one another. Be tender-hearted to one another. Be forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Now, I'm going to give you two action items. Do with them what you may, but I think they're incredibly important. They're so important, I'm going to read them. Number one, if those of you that are on email, we started something new this week, and we will get paper on the credenza out front. And that is this. It's become my conviction in talking to some of my elders in this church that it is a difficult season in life as your friends begin, if I may be direct, going to the arms of Christ. There is a practical reality to just less friend availability as you get older. We have a number of people in our church that are homebound, and they're increasingly isolated and often lonely. Our challenge is this, church. They are still part of our church community, loved by Christ. This week, if you're on email, and we'll get a paper copy, we're going to begin what we call Homebound Member of the Week. And my ask is this. We're going to make it really easy. We're going to give you an address and a phone number. And my ask is, can we be kind and tender-hearted and reach out in friendship towards those that are still loved by Christ but homebound with a simple note in the mail or a phone call? Mr. Ray is this week. Next week, we'll go on to the next one, and we'll go on to the next one. The intent is that we be kind and tender-hearted towards our elders that are no longer able to worship with us. It's a very practical assignment, and don't miss how loving our people will feel because of that. Number two, Carolyn went away from us in a blink this week. I'll be honest, Maddie and I were trying to figure out how to get her the newsletter from last month, which she had not received. And in a couple of days, she was gone. She had an accident, we believe, going up the stairs into her house and hit her head as she fell just at the wrong angle. And she was gone. I will tell you, she could have had hundreds of friends. As I talked to Maddie, we both came to the conclusion that we weren't quite sure. Her son believes that she didn't have many friends. Perhaps you've seen the Be Kind signs all over the community. It's a good challenge. It's not exactly where I'm coming from, but it's a good challenge for us. The world is watching Christ's church to figure out whether we're kind to one another. And even people that don't come to church expect the church to be kind to one another. They hold out hope that it's different there. I want to tell you, Friday we have an opportunity to love on Carolyn after the fact. If her family believes that she did not have many friends, there's an opportunity to come and remember her kindly. Friday night at 6 o'clock, we'll gather here in the sanctuary, those that are able to. Pastor will officiate over that service. Her family will feel the warmth of our congregation in that time. So needed. So therapeutic for all of us that will gather. Verse 32, be kind to one another, Audubon Baptist Church. Be tenderhearted. Be forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you.